Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son to give his life on the cross for us. For the conviction of the Holy Spirit, for the good sense to choose you as Savior and repent of our sins. I pray that you would bless our time in your presence and around your word, that you would work in all of our hearts and minds as we lift up your praises, Lord, in prayers. Thank you again. Please seal us in with yourself. Set a hedge around about us. Cleanse us and refresh us and work in our hearts and minds. And Lord, please help us to see. We love you and thank you. Amen. Yeah. I've got my glasses on. 245 in the big books. 245 in the big books. If anybody has a song that they're really dying for us to sing, I'm more than happy to...
246, redeemed.
Yeah, we could sing that one after. We could... I'm not listening to any more. That means my songs will get sung. What is 253?
You must be born again.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good one. Got a lot of good ones. All right. For Colin and Charlotte, but a very, very good song. I Found a Friend. 326.
Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and says, "Can man be profitable unto God as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? Is it any pleasure to the mighty that thou art righteous, or is it gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect? Will he reprove thee for fear of thee? Will he enter with thee into judgment? Is not thy wickedness great, and thine iniquities infinite? For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked of their clothing. Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry. But as for the mighty man, he had the earth, and the unruly man dwelt in it. Thou hast sent widows away empty, and the arms of thy fathers have been broken. Therefore snares are round about thee, and sudden fear and trouble flee. Of darkness that thou canst not see, and the abundance of waters cover thee. Is not God in the height of heaven? Behold the height of the stars, how high they are. And thou sayest, how doth God know? Can he judge through the dark cloud? Thick clouds are covering to him that he seeth not, and he walketh in the circuit of heaven. Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overflown with a flood, which said unto God, depart from us, and what can the Almighty do for them? Yet he filled their house with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me. The righteous see it, and are glad, and the innocent laugh them to scorn. Whereas our substance is not cut down, but the remnant of them the fire consumeth. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If they return to the mighty, thou shalt be built up, and thou shalt be, and thou built up, thou shalt put away iniquity far from the tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the mighty shall be the defence, for and thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have delight in the mighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thine hands. Amen. Yeah.
Thanks, Will. Some good verses there, verses 21 and 22 and 23. Acquaint now thyself with him, that's God, and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. And receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and wait for that, and gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Amen. The Almighty shall be thy defence, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. Amen. Good verses. Thank you for that. Thank you for the Bible reading this morning, courtesy of Steve, the Lewis and Wilson Collective. Much appreciated. Just want to remind everybody about these. Make sure you get one. Make sure you take a moment or two to, at least just once in the week, it's all we're asking, to for everybody that's regular at the church, and even those that aren't, that care enough to mention that even once in the week everybody gets prayed for 7 times this week. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. So that's at least once a day, maybe twice on a couple of days in the week. Please do pray about that. Any word on your granny's knee?
No.
Surgery?
No.
Nothing yet. Okay.
Doesn't she have an appointment Wednesday?
I didn't hear about it.
She has I meant to say this morning, she has an appointment Wednesday and she'll find out then.
Amen.
Sorry, Will.
Do you want the heat going or do you want the...
No, I'll just leave it up.
Amen. Right. Any of you folks who weren't here this morning got private prayer requests? You do. Okay. That is Will and Charlotte. Okay. Right, Monica, me, Ling, Will, Norman, and Charlotte. I'm sure Pat and Steve do too. I'll ask them when I see them. And William Hamilton as well. By the way, William sent up a bag full of loaves of slightly out of date bread for our birds.
Yes.
I don't know if any of them have to go into the freezer here. But I thought I'd better say to you now, in case we go home and we have like a bin bag full of loaves of bread, no space in the freezer to put them in.
Thank you.
Because our bird, we have to do the best to keep the chickens as at home as possible. They're going to spend their lives with bread in them or with bread outside of them, one way or the other. Chicken sandwiches, there you go. Have to keep them, have to make them feel at home. Amen.
Thank you.
Right, let me see what else there is song wise. Number 253, we'll do it next. 253 in the big books. If you're fit, let's stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Might we pick 2, 4, 6? Fanny Crosby, famous hymn writer. She was blind, wasn't she?
Yeah.
So it's amazing to think that a lot of people would have written her off in this day and age, but she, I am sure, her songs are being sung every Lord's Day, every time the church doors open. There's bound to be one of Fanny Crosby's songs read, or sung even. Sorry.
2, 4, 6. Redeemed.
3, 9, 6, 4. Joshua chapter 6. My apologies. I was beginning to panic a little bit there, and I didn't write the actual reference down in my notes. I thought, was it Joshua? I thought it was a bit earlier in Joshua, but Joshua chapter 6, God has a plan. I'm going to read this portion of God's word. It's only 27 verses. We appreciate the Bible reading we've already had from Job this morning. Again, we saw some excellent verses. This is a little bit of history. This is God's plan in a nutshell for anybody and everybody. Because we're not the brightest of creatures, and it was Star Wars Day on May the 4th, and I have a line that I repeat often from one of the newer movies was, "I am a slow learner," but that applies to all of us. God repeated his plan many times in the Old Testament, I was going to say warming people up, but preparing us to understand the salvation that he brought to us. Anyway, that's the premise. This is the Bible reading. I'll let me give you a bit of background. Children of Israel have just spent 40 years in the wilderness, wandering around until everybody that was a whiner and a doubter died, either in battle or of old age. God fed them, he kept their clothes from wearing out and their shoes too, and he watered them as well from the rock that followed them around. He was a pillar of fire by night to them and a pillar of cloud by the day. And wherever it stopped, they built the tabernacle in the wilderness, the temple for him. And whenever the pillar moved, the tabernacle was packed up and they followed it. For 40 years they did that under the judgment of Moses. And here we have come to the bit where they've come to Jordan. Because Moses disobeyed God, the people that he was tasked with directing made him so angry one day that he disobeyed God. And God said, because you disobeyed me, you will get to see the promised land, but you will not get to go into the promised land. Moses was 120 years old when this happened, so he was 80 years old when it all kicked off, and 120 years old when he went up to see his Savior face to face. And as the Lord said to Joshua, I love these verses in Joshua. He said in Joshua 1:2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. And verse number 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Some precious promises there. However, the promised land, I was going to say, it's a bit like Derek. It was full of sin, and people loved it. And they loved it so much, they had forsaken God, and many of them had literally no space in their minds even to consider what God said. And this is what God said to the children of Israel. Jericho's the first city, and here, this is where we come in. Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear the ark, 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on, and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets. The ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets. And the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going round about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually, and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned unto the camp, and so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua said to the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and gold and the vessels of brass and iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth the city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Amen. Amen. Would you be okay to have a wee prayer for us? Well, you go ahead then.
Dear Father, thank you for today, Lord, and thank you for bringing us to church, Lord. Thank you for all your manifold blessings, Lord, and your love and the love of Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, as Lord, give us and keep us, Lord. Send your spirit, Lord, to Mark, Lord, and divide the gospel, Lord. And Lord, reach out your hearts, Lord, and touch your souls, Lord, as well, Lord, and bless us and keep us in the service, Lord, and may our devotion be acceptable unto your sight, Lord. Be with absent brother and with them as they're in their homes, Lord, or wherever they are, Lord. Be with them and keep them safe and bless them. And heal Stephen Pat, Lord, and be with Esther, Lord, as well, Lord, and with Taylor and Christy, Lord, as well, Lord. Be with them and bring them into the church at the next appointed time, Lord, as well, Lord. Be with Stephen, Colin, John, save their soul, Lord, and be with Frank, Lord, be with my son and deliver from any trouble, Lord, and keep him safe as well, Lord, and deliver from any trouble as well, Lord. And Lord, be with Michael Sass as he's in Ukraine, Lord, deliver from any trouble, Lord, to keep any harm from him, Lord. More importantly, save his soul, Lord, and deliver from any trouble, Lord, and keep him safe and well. Be with us this night, Lord, and be with us as we start a new week, Lord, and Lord, may we put you in the forefront of the Lord as well, Lord. Be with us in case we Jesus Christ again,
Amen. It's funny you should say that, Lord, that the Lord should be. That you prayed that the Lord would be in the forefront of our minds, because this is the first of the cities that the children of Israel, the forefront of the cities, that the children of Israel were commanded to destroy so that the promised land would be theirs. The whole plan that God had was to destroy the inhabitants of the promised land, because they were so given over to child sacrifice, just like our abortion crowd are today. They were so given over to the gross immorality of homosexuality and lesbianism. They were so given over to all manner of sin and drunkenness and violence and murder and paganism and blasphemy, that God said they all got to go. But not all at once. Drive them out as you're able to take the land in case the crops and the fields and everything will just go to the dogs. So wipe them out a bit at a time. And the more that the Lord put his hand upon them, the more fear of them went throughout the land. And anyway, that's all a message for another day. But before they actually came to the battling bit, before they came to the killing bit, they came to the watching bit. And Joshua sent spies out into the land just to see what this land of milk and honey was truly like. Some of the spies came back saying there's giants in the land and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. Place looked great. Grapes the size of footballs and all sorts of marvelous things were coming up through this very fertile ground. And we know today that Israel is one of the most blessed countries in the world as far as mineral rights go and the fertility of the soil and all of that stuff. And they were going, some of the guys were going, these people are too big and too strong for us. But the two spies that came back said, God's with us. He can take them. So two of these two guys, they went into Jericho one night. And God had already been working in the people's minds and put a fear into their hearts of the children of Israel. And word got about that there were two Hebrews in the town. And they ended up in this harlot's house, Rahab, a prostitute, a seller of purple. And she knew what was happening. She knew that the children of Israel were coming. She knew that the city was going to be locked down, and they trusted in this big wall that they'd built. But she knew they were beaten. And she knew that the only way that she would ever survive is to make peace with her conqueror, to make peace with those that were going to bring the judgment of God upon them. And so she hid them. And she came to make a deal with them. In the same way that God wants to make a deal with us. You give me your sin, I'll give you my eternal life, and I'll give you a home in heaven. That's like someone turning up at your front door and saying, I'll give you £1,000 if you give me the contents of your black bin. What? Sure, I'll take that. That's literally what God says for our souls. He says, please spare my house. Now Rahab's house was on the wall. Her house was on the wall, and she let a scarlet thread down the wall, a rope, and the men climbed down the rope and escaped, because guys came from the city looking for them to kill them. Rahab sent them away a different way. She said they were here earlier on, but they went out to the city, and I think they went in that direction there, and she sent them on a wild goose chase. She had the two spies under flax that she had drying on the roof. And then she sent them away early. And they said, keep the scarlet thread in the window. And whoever is in your house when we come to take the city, they will be spared. But anybody that you love that's running about the streets, after they've been told, look, judgment's coming, that'll be hard cheese for them because there's not going to be anybody spared. She said, it's a day. So after that, the whole of the camp of Israel came around Jericho and they did their thing. Once a day for 6 days, they marched around the city once, blowing the trumpets, and then they were completely quiet. Did that 6 days in a row, and on the last day, they marched around the city 7 times. And when Joshua said, right, shout! The trumpets blew and they shouted and the walls fell down. In other words, the city became defenseless. I can just imagine the terror and the fear and the destruction whenever the walls fell down everywhere except for Rahab, the harlot's house, that had the scarlet thread running down from it. She got spared. And the word of God says I'm sure you noticed as we read on to the end that to this day Rahab the harlot lives amongst the Jews, the Hebrews. Now, another interesting thing is that, and I heard a preacher say it about the first 10 cities that were taken by the children of Israel, that God said, all of the valuables come to me. And I've heard some preachers say that that was God saying, you have to give to me. If you give to me first, tithing just for a second. Say you have £100 in the week, the Christian is supposed to give a tenth to the Lord. And it's easy to give £10 out of £100 at the start of the week. But if you get to the end of the week and you have only £15 left, all of a sudden it's not 10% anymore. That's actually 2/3. That's 66%. And it seems very difficult. But God said, every bit of gold, every bit of silver, every bit of brass, every bit of iron, precious metals back in the day. Gold and silver for currency, brass and iron for vessels and for weapons. God said, all of these things are to come into the treasury of the temple. They're mine. Everything's to come to me. And we know that from reading on that was not the case. That one man, he decided to help himself to some gold and silver and, as they said, a goodly Babylonian garment. And he and all his family were put to death for that because they disobeyed God. But forby that, and it's a thing that I used to struggle with quite a lot. In verse number 21, it says, they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass. Everything that was alive was put to the sword. And this is God telling his people that. And yet we react with the same reaction that we do whenever we read in the New Testament that Herod came after and killed all the little children of 2 years old. We think, how can God do that? How can God do that, a loving God? And you see, it's a question that you will be asked. God is not just a loving God. In fact, Jeremiah 9, I think it's 9:29 says, 9:24. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he knoweth and understandeth me, that I am the God of loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness, for in these things I delight. And there is such a thing in this world of people being so given over to sin that they can't separate themselves from their sin anymore. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about sexual immorality and how that is, well, we know it's part of today's society. It's glorified and it's justified on our TVs and by our behaviours here, there and everywhere. But God said, there's a lot of those people are given over to a reprobate mind. That God has knocked on the door of their heart so many times and it's gone unanswered. They've turned the music up or they've gone on whatever activities or hobbies it is that they have. They've just turned the activity level up to drown out the knock on the door of their hearts of God. And God said, I'm done. I'm finished. God says, I know there's no hope of you ever changing. So I'm going to lead you to it. I'll be seeing you soon. That's the thing with sin. It's very sore in the body. Who was talking to me the other day of seeing a young girl and she was only young and yet because of her drinking and smoking and whatever else it was that she was doing, she actually looked like, was it you? She looked like she was much, much older than she was. Sin is hard in these bodies, friends, let me tell you. It is very hard in these bodies. It's hard in the mind, it's hard in the soul, and it's hard in the body. It is much better for all of us to be walking and talking with God. But anyway, God has a plan. And his plan is to save anybody that will come to him. In this case, it was a people condemned to death. And that is us in general, if you think about it. People that are condemned to death because they have been judged by God and found wanting. That means they're going to die in their sins, unforgiven, unrepentant, and they will go into hell and then the lake of fire. That's God's plan for the lost. But God has a plan for the saved, for anyone that will turn to him. For anyone that will admit, hey, we've done wrong, I'm going to start doing things your way, which is what Rahab the harlot did. She protected God's messengers. She sent them out safely away. And God did the same for her. He has a home in heaven for each and every soul that trusts in him as Saviour. In the Old Testament, it used to be, wasn't quite the same. You had to stick with it. And there's coming a day again whenever you'll have to stick with it, whenever the Holy Spirit's lifted off of the earth. And men will be saved. Literally have to save themselves. They'll have to stick with God and never renounce him. But Lord willing, anybody that's saved right now will never see that. That's during the tribulation and great tribulation. But right here and now, God's plan, even at this awful time for Jericho and for all of the other towns, is anybody that repents can be saved. If you're ever to read the book of Ruth, and I recommend that you do, the book of Ruth, Ruth the Moabitess. She was actually descended from one of Lot's daughters, the Moabites and the Ammonites, two of the peoples that caused the children of Israel the most trouble in the Old Testament. And God said, they are never to come into the congregation. They are never to be accepted into the congregation. Yet Ruth the Moabitess became King David's great-grandmother, something like that. She married Boaz. And we have just discovered that we have a great nephew called Boaz, the poor wee fella. Boaz Jack, is it? Imagine a name like that, BJ. Boaz Jack. He is going to grow up thinking his mum and dad lost a bet or really healed him. But anyway, Ruth the Moore, I guess. I hope they don't listen to these songs. Anyway, Ruth the Moabitess, she chose to follow God, and she was inducted into the very line of Jesus Christ. Bear that in mind. And even though she was physically from a group of people that were forbidden to join the congregation, because she had a change of heart, God accepted her. That's worth remembering. God has a plan. His plan here was to A, lay down a type of tithing, was B, again, to show this scarlet thread marked a safe house. Now, if you were to go back into the book of Exodus, the very, very start of the book of Exodus, and start reading about all of the things that the children of Israel did to escape Egypt, you will find that the last thing that the children of Israel had to do was to sacrifice a lamb and to dip its blood with a bit of a hyssop bush on the doorposts and upon the lintel. And when the destroyer passed over the land, as God's judgment passing over the land, when he saw the blood of the lamb on the doorposts and on the lintel, he would go over that house. But any household that he came to that didn't have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and upon the lintel, the destroyer went in and killed the firstborn. And you might think, oh, that's awful. But God warned everybody. God warned the Jews, and the Jews spoke to the Egyptians, and I'm sure there was maybe one or two that threw their lot in with them. But everybody that obeyed God, he was saved. And everybody that rejected God was judged. That red upon the doorpost, the red thread hanging from the window. And the final, if you like, the analogy is the same thing that will happen to you and to me and to every single soul on the face of this earth. If God sees the red threads of his son's blood that dripped from his body onto the ground, his blood that was shed for you and me on your life, on your soul, judgment will pass over you. If God doesn't see that shed blood applied to your life, to your soul, judgment will fall on you. The wrath of God will be visited upon you. And that makes it sound awful. How could God do this? And we're back to this question again. How could God kill all of these people? I put it to you that they were so ingrained in devilment and wickedness that God knew that there was one person that would change. That was Rahab and her family.
Everybody else was so given over to it, there would have been no amount of convincing. There was no amount of fear. There was no amount of threatening, which is exactly what happened, that would cause them to change their minds. Because they didn't. A handful did. Those that knew Rahab, those that she pleaded with and listened to her, they were saved. But everybody else met their maker. Everybody else ended up in hell, just across from paradise. Everybody, sadly, that died without God as their saviour, opened their eyes in torments and could see paradise afar off. Could see Father Abraham, if you want, and Isaac and Jacob and all those that had gone into eternity trusting God. And you know what, friends? God's plan, God's provision is that we should all be saved. This was, let me think, Abraham. Abraham came along about 300 years after the flood. That would be about right, because no one knew Abraham. So that's about 1700 years into the history of the world that Abraham was born. And Abraham lived for 140 or 160 years, something like that. So 1800, say 1900 years from the beginning of the history of the world until now, God's plan has been in the world. It's been about long enough that every country in the world has had the opportunity to hear the gospel. Many of them have refused the gospel. But there are a few that have hung that scarlet thread on their windows. Now, I don't know. I do know that God was once talked into saving a whole town for 10 righteous people, Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham bargained with him and said, Lord, I know you're coming down to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. That's where we get the term for sodomy now, one of the grossest, most unhealthy lifestyles that people have ever engaged in whatsoever. Abraham managed to bargain God down to 10 righteous people to save a whole city. I'm sure there are not 10 righteous people. When I say 10, I mean the 10 in quotes righteous people. Definitely not about that would save this world right now, that would stop God from coming back, because he said that he is. Friends, this plan is repeated over and over. The salvation of Adam and Eve by the blood sacrifice of the lamb. The sacrifice that was offered up by, was it Abraham? Isaac. Isaac. Abraham, when he went up the mountain with Isaac, and he said, when his son asked him, where's the sacrifice to give to God? And Abraham said, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. And how true those words were. He provided himself as a sacrifice, and he provided for himself a sacrifice in his only begotten son. The story of Joseph tells us the story of Jesus Christ. The son of the king, the son of the king cast down to the earth as a slave, came up as a servant, and then again was raised to the right hand of the most powerful man in the world. And that was how Joseph was able to provide a salvation for the children of Israel. The ark that we spoke of the other day. The ark of salvation that God prepared for anybody that would walk in through that door. And it has always been the same. Anybody that wants to can be saved. Anybody that wants to can serve. It's not about your strength. It's not about your intellect. It's not about your height, your weight, your age, your bank account, your language, your credentials, your qualifications. It's not about what anybody else thinks about you. It is purely and utterly and simply down to whether you love God. And anyone can love the Lord. You don't have to be educated, in fact, to be quite honest with you. I think sometimes when people get educated, they tend to think they're above the gospel, that the gospel doesn't apply to them. All I have to say about that is contained in Luke chapter 16. The rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. It doesn't mean everyone that's rich is going to go to hell, but it does mean that a lot of people depend on riches rather than God to get them through this life.